broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September 1st in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour one of two, and our goal, incredibly steady as a rock. Incredibly simple, that is, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the checks and balances put in place by our founders. We don't believe in a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. We already had one of those. Thank heavens it turned out successful. By the way, that's so rare in history. Go study. You'll find out it's the rarest thing ever. Really, it points to the blessings the Almighty bestowed upon us. And it also points to we must turn to God for his protection and guidance. The founders understood that, and so must we if we want the greatest country to be restored. And that's exactly what we want. We want to use the supreme law of the land to restore the republic and the traditions of our founders. It's a lot of hard work. But we the people are known for hard things, ladies and gentlemen. And if we turn to God and repent, all things are possible. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast. It's still available on demand on your Roku player. Look in the Liberty News Radio channel or at libertyroundtable.com. We talked about the Chicago murder rate. They say the Chicago murder toll hits 462 for the year, according to USA Today. They say the nation's third largest city recorded 81 murders in August, making it the most violent month that Chicago has seen in near 20 years, ladies and gentlemen. All this is according to the Chicago Police Department data, by the way, USA Today for the details. Trump reiterates border wall pledge. I listened to a lot of the Trump's speech last night. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. Trump did attend the surprise meeting with President Nieto of Mexico. The Mexican president's office said that, hey, they invited Donald and Hillary. Hillary just ignored. Donald went. Everybody's criticizing Donald for going and leaving Hillary alone for not going. Interesting. We'll break that down as well. Jesse Jackson, believe it or not, praised Donald Trump back in 1999, saying, you know what, I really appreciate Trump's commitment to diversity and being inclusive. The Blaze had that detail. Trump on, what's this guy's name? This weird football player. It's not Kaepernick, it's Kaepernick? Yeah, all right. Maybe he ought to find a country that works better for him. Colin Kaepernick. His birth mom says she's ashamed of the son she gave up for adoption. Independent Journal Review with those details. Interesting, huh? Sean Hannity goes ballistic on the Never Trump people. Hey, Glenn Beck and others, if Hillary wins, you own it. He's telling Glenn Beck and others that are Never Trumpers. If Hillary wins, you own it. Details in Raw Story. FBI now recovers Hillary's Benghazi emails. They recovered thousands more emails, 30 of them, directly related to Benghazi. And it's kind of interesting because they say, we just closed the investigation. Now, why would you close the investigation when you keep getting paydirt on more and more and more emails? Why would you do that? Because it's obvious the FBI's, well, I don't want to say in bed with Hillary. That gets really scary fast. But you know what I'm trying to get at, right? They're working together. Yeah. Hillary Clinton is not only favored by the FBI, but she's favored by the stock market to be the next president of the United States. Never mind the fact that she's got more and more and more Benghazi emails. Never mind that she sent literally classified emails after she was Secretary of State. But Wall Street is inclined to believe in a landslide by Hillary over Trump. Yeah, they're telling that to Market Watch and other news media. Just imagine the insiders saying that stuff when she's literally involved in criminal activity. That was our Win a Liberty Roundtable Live, brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. Please do business with the good guys, thepowermall.com or 877-817-9829. I got a headline, Dear Sam, Rand Paul is in trouble. And I talked about how we've tried to get a hold of Rand to help him over and over and over and over, but he won't listen. He won't come on the radio. He's just not involved with us, except for when it comes to the reach out to beg for money. Sheriff Joe, He defeats three people in the Republican primary. They say he's in for the general election of his lifetime, but he did win the primaries. Others are saying Joe's going to prison. Why is Joe going to prison and Hillary free, huh? We also talked about Sam Bushman's radio interview request for future President Donald Trump on Liberty Roundtable Live with Sam Bushman. That invitation has been extended. We got an email back. It's just a canned email saying, hey, we got your request. We'll be back to you soon. So we're waiting on the Donald campaign. We also talked about the leaked details. It looks like George Soros is the one that funded the ousting of Glenn Beck from Fox News. The billionaire also behind the MSNBC ouster. Pat Buchanan says Jerome Corsi in WorldNet Daily, WND.com for details. Donald Trump is finally making a big TV ad blitz. The GOP candidate's going to spend $10 million on commercials in 9 battleground states over the next week. That comes on the heels of 4 states, $4 million. So he's put $14 million into the mainstream press that he hates. Florida man, his name is Kevin Miller, did a great job, returned a lost wallet that had $3,400 inside. He said, I just felt like I had to do the right thing. A mother with her children lost it. What a blessing it is for that recovery. And that's one of those pay it forward things that you think, you know what, good for Kevin. Donald should write a check to Kevin for a couple of grand and say, you know what, this is what I want to say to you for doing the right thing. And Donald could have that gentleman on the campaign trail and say, what we need is honesty in the media and honesty in campaigns. And Hillary, you're not honest. You're not honest about Benghazi. You're not honest about your foundation. But my buddy here, Kevin Miller, is honest. Take Kevin on the campaign trail with you for a day. It'll do more for you media-wise than anything else. It'll be an olive branch. It'll be a focus on honesty. You have nothing to lose, Donald. It's just a little bit of advice, because I know that I'm not one of your inside advisors, but I know people surrounding you listen, because I've even heard you start to use words we use, like talking about the clown media. That's a phrase you need to insert more into your campaign, because it's a way to insult them but not be too aggressive and hostile, but to mock them when they do things that are just sideshows. All right? Don't be the clown media. You can say this to Megan and her cohorts. You know, Megan, knock off the clown stuff, Megan. Come on, come back to the table for discussions. Even all the Republicans in the former debates talked about building a border fence, Megan. Now you mock me for the wall, Megan. Get off the clown media stuff. No more sideshows, please. And it could be so polite, but so condescending. But yet, right as rain at the same time. We also talked about the Mediterranean diet, better for the heart than taking statins, by far major study says. Experts found that it cut the chances of death, early death, I should say, by 37%. Statins only cut it, they claim, by 18%. I just want to let the people doing the study, too, know that the statins had all kinds of side effects. The Mediterranean diet didn't have any side effects, just so you know. They said the results were so remarkable that the government ought to start handing out free food, free vegetables and fruits, and or maybe subsidizing such produce to encourage the public to change its eating habits. They say 7 million Britain people live with heart disease. Okay, first off, they were doing great until they just ran the train right off the rails. It's a great idea to point out good diets. It's a great idea to encourage good diets. It's a horrible idea to try to get the government to fund good diets. What the government needs to do is just get rid of taxes on food. The government just needs to lower taxes big time everywhere. We also talked about a half an hour of gardening, fishing, walking, light exercise cuts the risk of heart attack big time. Small amounts of activity can make an incredible difference for anybody at any age. It's never too late to start. Not only does exercise add years to our lives, but it can improve your mood. It can help maintain independence in the later years. It's never too late to start, ladies and gentlemen, at any age, and any increased activity is a good thing. We also talked about a Utah scientist that exposed the fraudulent cancer industry. Enoch Moore brings the details to us. It's a great article, by the way. And the Donald could travel to Utah, meet with Sam Bushman. You know, I mean, after all, we are the most well-known nationally syndicated talk show host that has a headquartered flagship radio station right here in Utah. He could meet with the governor who's already said he's going to vote for him. And then he could meet with some of these people about this cancer thing and blow the lid off that sucker. That ought to help the Donald campaign, huh? Alex Jones is asking Hillary Clinton, please don't kill me. Bill and Hill have a death count in their wake as they've risen to power. I pray they don't kill anybody. Media lawyer says feds trampling on free speech in Bundy case.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
That was a recap of yesterday's broadcast, always available on the Liberty News Radio Roku channel. Live and on demand, radio at your fingertips, free on the Roku. Also available at libertyroundtable.com, on demand, radio at your fingertips, live radio. Not only Liberty Roundtable, but a bunch of talk show hosts and a growing number at that, libertynewsradio.com. Check it out today, libertyroundtable.com, libertynewsradio.com. By the way, think about our incredible news site as well, Liberty News Daily. It all starts with Liberty. You got Roundtable, you got Radio, and you got Daily. All starts with Liberty News, Liberty News Radio, Liberty Roundtable, Liberty News Daily, all available now. All right. The Brazilian Senate, Kurt, removes President, how do you say it, Dilma Rousseff from office for fiscal irregularities, Kurt. That's a move she claims amounts to an illegal coup, but she got canned. The reason I bring it up, I'm not really here to get into Brazilian politics necessarily, but if we're going to talk about her fiscal irregularities, in other words, financial questionable things, Hillary can never be president in America, and Barack needs to be removed as well, Kurt. I mean, they've done a whole lot more than this lady's done, I'm sure of it. Welcome to the broadcast, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam. Yeah.
The, what do you say?
Brazilians. Anyway.
They kicked her to the curb, my friend.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
We need to kick Barry to the curb, sir.
There's lots of reasons that would fit our case.
Not literally. I'm not saying we should kick anybody physically. I'm just saying let's just send Barry to the golf course early. You know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, I find that interesting. Obama heads to Asia seeking what he calls progress on trade and climate change, Kurt. Two of the biggest kind of pinpoints for his hoped legacy. And that's kind of interesting. Donald basically says, I'm going to trash all the trade agreements, which, by the way, I think he's right. And then Barack's like, I'm going to go do more horrible negotiating on trade. It's kind of comical in a way. It's not too funny when they have power to regulate, though, Kurt.
Good point.
Anyway, any comments on, Barack rolling to Asia?
Well, it's with all the things we know that he ought to be working on that are really on his to-do list.
Yeah, that ain't one of them?
No.
Heard that. All right. Anyway, I found that interesting. Those are kind of the two stories, not Trump-esque, if you will, that I thought I'd kind of lead with. Now, we've got highlights of Donald Trump's immigration speech and his Mexico trip, Kurt. Did you listen to the speech that he gave in Phoenix?
No.
Come on, Kurt.
I didn't hear that one. I did hear the...
you got to get on it, bro.
A lot of the one during the daytime. I was happened to be traveling, so I could hear...
You heard him speak with the
Mexican president. Well, I heard the translation. If they would have just let me hear the Mexican president, I could have translated myself. But
no, Kurt, you're not capable of determining things for yourself, my friend.
Anyway, so I did hear that, and then I did hear his short speech there, Trump's. And, I thought overall, in my opinion, that was very presidential of him. That's talking to, like Ron Paul would tell, over and over, just let's talk to our, other countries, not just bomb them, let's, talk with them and work with them, trade with them, and Trump's idea of making sure the trade deals are good for us and good for them. I mean, imagine that.
Yeah, what do you think of all that, Kurt?
Way out. Well, it's the old art of the deal thing for him, in my opinion, Mr. Trump's just a real, real good sales guy,
Yeah.
And, I think he's doing his job there, and Hillary's going down in a ball of fire. But, she does have her pals that control the vote counting, so, she can always count on that.
Yeah. All right. Well, here's the
deal.
What
did you think of the,
First off, the speech was very interesting. There was quite a big contrast.
This is the evening one you're talking about.
Well, this is both of them. I'm going to speak to both of them.
Okay.
There was a big contrast between when he was in Mexico standing by Nieto or whatever his name is. Nieto.
Nieto, yeah.
And the speech in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people want to pick him apart for this. The mainstream press is all running around going, man, he looked like two different people. He's like a chameleon. Yeah, good luck telling me that compared to the other bureaucrats and politicians that have been lying and deceiving based on the audiences they speak to. Don't even go there. But Donald had a completely different demeanor between the two speeches. But I'm going to add, Kurt, appropriately so. And let me point out something that I think is important. when most politicians speak to different crowds, they flat out say different things and lie.
Yeah.
Okay, Donald did not do that. He had an appropriate conciliatory attitude and behavior when he was with Nieto. In other words, he was kind. Nieto tried to put a couple of barbs in. Donald did not take the bait. Donald was looking the most presidential he's ever looked because he did a good job. He didn't take the bait. He stuck to the issues. And he chose to leave discussions that need to be debated later for later. And you know what, Kurt? That's one of the signs of a great negotiator. I'm not telling you that I know everything about negotiating, but I'm actually pretty good at it. And I'm telling you, one of the key things that you do is you build relationships of trust and friendship and kindness. You work on the things that you know you agree on and get the ball rolling in a positive way. You leave the issues that you know are contentious, and you don't just bring them all out into the open and just hammer away. It doesn't get anything done. It'll just wreck it.
Causes problems.
Yeah. Absolutely. What you do is you bring up little things a little bit at a time, and you strategically bring them up in a way that you think will go over well and in a situation where you believe that, you know what, we might take a piece of this complicated issue and both get a win. Now the issue that we may not get along about is smaller, and we've got momentum, we've got success, we've got progress together. Okay, he did that very well, and now the media is mocking him for that too. No matter what Donald does, he can't win. He looks presidential, and they're like, wow, we've never seen that before. Holy cranks, I don't know what's going on. What? He doesn't look presidential, and they're like, see, there's Donald. And then he does something right, and they're like, man, sure different than he used to be. Well, that's what you've been asking him to do, to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, so I'll give you an example. Donald said they discussed the border wall, but they did not discuss who paid for it. That's a brilliant reality-based strategy for any good negotiator, Kurt.
Yep.
Nieto said, yeah, I told him right out of the gate we're not building the wall. Well, you don't know who's telling the truth. It was a private meeting, Kurt. But I'm telling you, from a negotiator point of view, and I've negotiated a lot of business deals in my day. I started when I was like 10 years old. I know it sounds crazy, but it's really true. Anyway, all I'm telling you is that one of the things you do is you do discuss the border wall. You kind of get an idea what the other guy's going to say, what he thinks. You broach the subject, but you let it go so it never gets contentious. It's a brilliant strategy for negotiating. And so I believe the Mexican president just came out and said that because he's got to save face somehow. I don't believe they discussed paying the wall, though, or paying for the wall, because Donald's already made himself so clear there's nothing to discuss.
Right.
And we know the Mexican president's not in a position to not pay for the wall. Okay, how are you going to not pay for the wall when all we got to do is put a trade barrier there and, well, you're going to pay for it by exporting your products? Or how are you going to not pay for it when we just decide we're going to not send trade and or money from all your people illegally here in the United States back to you until this gets straightened out? So the bottom line is the Mexican president has no leverage. Donald has so much leverage, it's not even worth discussing.
Right.
But I'm telling you that it was an incredible display of negotiating by Donald. He managed to do everything right to the point where, you know what? The mainstream press doesn't even know how to criticize him, except for his speech later. The contrast is where they play games.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
A political subdivision of the United States has gone to court in an effort to validate a racially exclusionary voter registration system, a development most observers wouldn't expect in the year 2016. The government of Guam, a U.S. territory in the South Pacific, has proposed a native-only rule regarding an upcoming plebiscite over the island's status in the Union. Under the proposed rules, only residents who can demonstrate Chamorro ancestry would be allowed to vote on the decolonization measure. The rule has been challenged by Arnold Davis, a retired U.S. Air Force officer and longtime resident of the island, who had attempted to register to vote in the plebiscite. Davis has no native Chamorro ancestry and he has been publicly denigrated by advocates of independence as a Haole, a derisive ethnic slur for people of European ancestry. The U.S. Supreme Court has struck down ethnically exclusionary voter registration measures in Hawaii and Oklahoma, the latter being a state that was used as a dumping ground for dispossessed American Indians during the 19th century. Under the 15th Amendment and the 1965 Voting Rights Act, measures of this kind are impermissible. Guam's history is complicated somewhat by the fact that it was taken as spoils during the 1898 Spanish-American War and was under military rule until 1950. A growing number of native-born residents object to the continued use of the island as a major U.S. military staging base. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like their green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so where the mainstream press tries to get the Donald is in the contrast between those two speeches. What's fascinating is Hillary or George Bush or any of these thugs have done this for years, and they don't even bring it up. They literally say things and do things to different crowds completely. It's like a chameleon. They're trying to make that case for Donald, but it isn't working. People know the truth. Donald was very presidential. He delivered the perfect, superb negotiator tactic. I mean, he managed to go into Mexico after criticizing them for a year and stand side by side with the Mexican president and say, you know what, we had a great, cordial, appropriate first meeting. And Nieto said, hey, I'm not building the wall. I told you that. And Donald just smiled. And Donald said, you know, they're going to build the wall. They just don't know it yet. And Donald's right. The reason he's right on that is because the Mexican government doesn't have any negotiating power, folks. But Donald's being polite, letting it go for now. Let Nieto say whatever he wants to. The truth will be in the pudding. And that's another hallmark of a great negotiator. You know what? It doesn't matter. Let Nieto save face. Right now, Nieto being criticized by his own countrymen big time for even meeting with Donald. But Nieto, in his defense, got it right, meaning that it's always better to negotiate and to talk and to try to build relationships of trust and to diplomatically solve things rather than the other way around. A Mexican standoff, pardon the pun, wouldn't be a good idea. It just wouldn't help anybody. How's that going to help Donald, and how's that going to help Nieto, and how's that going to help the American people, and how's that going to help the Mexican people? It's not. They both are smart enough to get it, regardless of the criticism. Nevertheless, they're claiming that Donald then flew to Phoenix, gave a speech, but the speech was just completely different. It was blustering. It was belligerent. It was back to the same rhetoric and language of Donald. And they go on and on and on. But Donald, in my opinion, they always say he's short on details, Kurt, that he never really tells you what he would do. He laid out some incredible details that I would like to cover on the broadcast today because I think they're worth discussing. Donald Trump, in his much anticipated speech on immigration, laid out some of the details. They now then say, even as he backed off of his previous pledge to forcibly remove 11 million immigrants here illegally. Now they say, here's what Mr. Trump offered in his plan to fight illegal immigration. Number one, build the wall. Donald says, we're still going to build it. The Mexicans are going to pay for it, even though they don't know it yet. End the catch and release policy for undocumented immigrants and instead return them to their country of origin. Now, this is one of the biggest pieces that needs to be done, Kurt. End the catch and release, return them to their countries of origin. Have zero tolerance for, and then they claim undocumented immigrants, but I would say illegals who have committed crimes and deport them. In other words, Donald's saying, if you're here illegally and you're a criminal, you're out. Triple the number of deportation officers at the Department of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Okay, now I don't really like hiring more government officials, so what I'd like to do is decide if a couple of the TSA agents and or IRS agents would like to be moved over to Homeland or deportation officers. They could do that. I would not support the Donald's idea to hire more people. I would go ahead and, you know, reshuffle some of the chairs. But nevertheless, I understand his point that, hey, we got to get people that can handle this. Repeal President Obama's executive orders that temporarily have protected illegal aliens from deportation and authorize them to receive work permits. In other words, he's going to get rid of all that. You won't get work permits and you won't be able to stay here. I agree. The executive orders are a disaster. They're unconstitutional and they need to be repealed. Stop issuing visas to any country where adequate screening cannot occur that might endanger national security. Again, a no-brainer move, Kurt. If we can't adequately screen these people, we've got to stop it until we can put a system in place that can. We cannot let individuals and or products or whatever you want to say that could harm Americans into America. We've got to put controls there. Ensure that foreign countries take back illegals from the United States. Mr. Trump said 23 countries currently refuse to do this. We need to play hardball with those countries. He's right. Complete a biometric entry and exit visa tracking system. It's currently under development. You know, I understand, but I get a little bit paranoid when we start getting too violating of people's privacy. In other words, how do you make sure that that, you know, deals with the illegality and but yet doesn't affect the American people? And it's a very hard balance. I don't know that I have the perfect answers. I'm not saying that I couldn't work on a project with people. I'm just saying in a vacuum, individually, it's very hard to come up with cogent plans to handle that. But I would say this. We dealt with immigration for the first couple of hundred years in America very successfully. And I would start with simplicity. We didn't have all the high-tech gadgets and all the biometric DNA testing then, but we managed to keep America safe then. You'd say, Sam, we didn't have the terrorism problem that we had back then. Oh, yeah, you still had the Muslims. And I mean, those guys have been fighting for thousands of years. This is nothing new. All right, so I'm a little bit hesitant. But then Mr. Trump says it'll be on land, it'll be on sea, it'll be in the air. In other words, our fight to protect our border. And I agree with that. Then he talked about a few other highlights from his speech, Kurt, which is this. Mr. Trump made the case that Washington elites and the media have put the focus wrongly on the estimated 11 million illegal aliens in the country, not on the Americans who were impacted by their presence. And this was an important part of the speech. In other words, are we just going to run around and be sad about the plight of the illegal? Or are we going to talk about the negativity that has occurred to the American people by their presence? Anyone who tells you that the core issue is the needs of those who are here illegally has simply spent much too much time in Washington, D.C. Only the out-of-touch elite media think that the biggest problem is the illegals. What about all the people who have been killed by illegal aliens or harmed by illegal aliens or raped or pillaged or plundered or just simply have had their job stolen? You can't become a citizen by illegally entering our country. You can't do it, said Donald. You can't just smuggle in, hunker down, and hope for legal status. Now, the bottom line is Donald then went on and had, he called them his angel moms. And some of them were mothers, some of them were fathers, but the point is the same, which is he had them come down to the stage and in turn take the microphone and tell, I don't know, a 15-second little blip on their story. And then why they were voting for Donald Trump. But it was very touching. It was pretty good, Kurt, in the sense that, you know what? He's right. We've got to focus on the American people. We've got to talk about the problems that are happening here. And I agree with Trump big time in that we need to stop the flood of illegal immigrants. And Donald explained exactly how. He said, first off, we're going to turn off the spigot of free services. That's something, Kurt, you and I have been talking about forever. Hey, no more free education, no more free food stamps for illegals, no more, you know what, you'll have your baby for free in our hospital stuff. That's not happening. And some are saying that he's backing away from his comments to deport all illegals. What he's really doing is simply saying, you guys are making this so divisive that I've got to basically negotiate with you people now, and I'm going to focus on the things that are key. We're building the wall. We're going to shut the border down. We're going to stop handing out welfare, and we're going to stop giving you jobs. He talked a lot about E-Verify, which I'm not really for, but it does exist. It is here. And it, you know, and the bottom line is he talked a lot about how he would get the things done that he wanted. He had a 10 points to a plan, if you will. And I don't agree with them all. But I do agree with some main points that he made, which is we've got to get rid of the welfare. We've got to get rid of criminals. We've got to play hardball with these countries that will not help us and will not respect our way of life. You're not going to become a citizen of the United States by illegally entering our country. You're not going to do it. Now, Trump told Nieto that he felt like Mexico has benefited greatly with the unfair trade deals we've got going on. That'll be fixed. Okay? We're not going to move stuff easily across the border for your economic benefit. We're going to make sure it's a win-win. There was not a lot of demonstrators. There were a lot of journalists at the event. And all I'm telling you is I think that Donald walked a fine line and delivered, Kurt, a masterful, but yet keeping the same points the same. Oh, he talked to the audience. He was a lot more bold and you know, his normal discussion points in Phoenix. But both were appropriate, and he did not betray himself in doing so. Let's talk about that in seconds.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped, and having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
The mainstream press doesn't know how to cope with this. Their headline, Donald Trump tries jarring new style. Diplomatic. Michael Barbaro writes the piece, Donald Trump tries a jarring new strategy. Diplomatic. So they've been telling him to be diplomatic forever. Now he tries it and they're calling it a jarring new style. Just imagine these wordsmiths. They're crazy. Donald managed to stick with the thread. He did not betray himself by saying completely different things. He has toned down his deport everybody plan, but he's sticking with, we're deporting illegals. We're going to deal hostily with countries that won't take their people back. We're going to export criminals. And he's just simply saying, look, let's leave the more contentious, peaceful people alone. Let's use E-Verify to find out who's who. I don't really agree with that, but nevertheless, it already exists, and he's, you know, looking at it. Republicans have talked about that for a long time. He's going to stick with the wall, but Republicans have talked about a border fence for a long time. Okay, we can use different words, but he's backing himself into more of the Republican viewpoint a little bit, while remaining true to what he said. This is a huge win for Donald, no matter what the mainstream press tells you, because everybody claimed Donald can't get along with anybody in the world. He just blows everything up, and it's crazy. And now he managed to criticize illegal immigration and the hostility from Mexico sending their worst to America. He managed to literally accept an invitation, fly to Mexico, stand in the Mexicans', you know, front yard, if you will, and say, we're building the wall. You're going to pay for it. You just don't know it yet. Your trade agreements aren't fair, and we're going to fix them. And then Nieto tried to kind of make it sound like, yeah, Donald, but we don't appreciate your comments. And Donald smiled and looked over and says, you know what, Nieto, I'm calling you a friend. And Donald won big there, folks. I don't care what anybody says. He managed to prove that he can negotiate, prove he can hold his tongue, prove that he's a much better negotiator than others could imagine. Now, the Mexican people are very critical. At least the mainstream press is telling us that. I don't believe it, by the way. But the headline from the mainstream press news services says this. Mexicans view their president's invitation to Trump as a, quote, historic error. That's what the New York Times is saying. And they go on to say, you know, why would we ever meet with Donald? It's a betrayal. It's a historical misstep. It's foolish. Well, in a news release, the president of Mexico explained why he did it. He said, it's in the interest of democracy, which he doesn't even understand what a democracy is, or he'd never say that, but that's a sidebar. In the interest of democracy and with a goal to create an open dialogue. He wanted to fortify the nation's tie with their most important ally. And he said, I wanted to stand up for Mexico, but talk with our most important global partner. Now, I bring this up because, look, if Donald wins and the president of Mexico thumbs his nose at the Donald, do you think that's going to go well? Can we create common ground? How can we walk back the rhetoric of Donald but remain true to the points Donald has made that are correct and honorable? Can Donald humbly admit that maybe he went too far? I think he's done it. And I think we can create a way forward and even have the Mexican president be part of it. And that is, how do we make Mexico great, too? How do we make it to where people don't want to cross the border for a better life? Because they got a great life in their own country. If we can accomplish that, we've really done something. And then Donald tripled down in his speech, Kurt, after inviting the angel moms to the stage, after maintaining continuity between a polite delivery with the Mexican president and a more campaign-style delivery in his Phoenix speech, but maintaining a thread of truth between the two, not betraying his earlier statements, in other words. Then he moved forward, Kurt, by saying this. I want you to ask Hillary what her plans are on the border. I want you to ask Hillary why she didn't accept the invitation to meet with Nieto as I did. I want you to ask Hillary the hard questions about what solutions she's got on the table. And while the mainstream press is criticizing Donald for saying he's light on details, where's Hillary Clinton's details, Kurt? What is she going to do on the border? Is she going to lock down the border? Is she going to deport criminals? Is she going to move forward in a way that'll put Americans first? No one minds helping others in the world. But if Americans aren't helped first, if Americans don't have jobs, if Americans don't protect themselves, how are they going to ever help others? I mean, they even say this on the airplane. Hey, put on your oxygen mask first. They don't say that because they're like, hey, kill your baby and take care of yourself. Put your oxygen mask on first, and if your baby dies, who gives a crap? Okay, they don't say anything like that. The reason that you put your mask on first is because then as long as you've got your breathing together and your senses together, then you can really be of service to others. That is what Donald's America First policy is all about, my fellow Americans. And Nieto should understand that if we put a way together to benefit Mexico, benefit the United States, maybe China pays for the wall. But maybe Mexico pays for the wall, but China reimburses Mexico. And maybe you put together an incredible trade deal that's a little bit more fair, a little bit more appropriate. You think Hillary can get that done? What are Hillary's plans with regards to the necessity of doing something about getting rid of illegal aliens in this country? About getting rid of criminals and ne'er-do-wells? Okay? Nieto knows that he's got a gargantuan drug war going on in his country. He knows the drug lords have made it to where half the tourists in America won't even go to Mexico anymore. He knows there's these problems. Let's not pretend he doesn't. Let's not lie in the media and act like Donald's just attacking people with complete untruths. Everything Donald says is true. The question is, how do you reward good people? How do you realize that there are incredible Mexican people? And how do we bring those good people here and reject the criminals and the thug element? Even Nieto would have to agree there's truth there. Well, then Donald even talked about that. He said, you know what? We're going to bring people into this country that add value to America. People that won't be on the dole. People that will actually have a way forward to succeed. A financial wherewithal to make it. That doesn't mean they have to be rich. It just means they may have to have a sponsor. Donald didn't go into those details. But if I own a business, I might work out a deal to bring a chunk of Mexican people in that have high-tech skills or some other value to America. It could benefit them. It could benefit us. But Donald made one point really clear. We've got to absolutely shut down what's not working. And then we can open up the discussion at a later date, the way forward. He's absolutely right as rain. It stops the critics, except for those who say, oh, he won't tell you what he'll do. But it really points at leaving the negotiations for more complicated issues for a later discussion. And I think that even though I don't agree with every tenet of Donald's speech, Kurt, I think it was masterfully done yesterday. And the mainstream press is beside themselves. Now they're trying to say Donald's still way, 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 way down in the polls and that he's melting down. I do not agree. Hillary is looking foolish. Barack's leaving to Asia because he doesn't even know how to handle this controversy. Hillary's like in her bunker. Donald's Trump speech in Mexico and in Phoenix was incredible. And they're now saying he's diplomatic, but they're calling it a jarring style. They're saying the Mexicans view their president's invitation of the Donald very foolish and a historical error. I don't agree with that either, Kurt. I think there's some vocal Mexicans that are saying that to try to save face. They got the machismo going on. But that doesn't mean it's reality. Most Mexicans realize, in fact, half the people that Trump brought to the stage were Hispanic or had Hispanic ancestry or marriages, and you know, there was Latino ties big time. And every one of those guys said, we don't want illegals. We came here legally. We are legal citizens. Illegals killed our families. We're not happy about that. We got to fix it, and we're supporting Trump. Every one of them. A whole stage full of them, Kurt. And I'm here to tell you that what was done was amazing. The mainstream press is going to spin it all they can, but they lost big on this one, and they know it. I'm not even a Donald supporter, but I'm going to be honest in the media, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due. They cannot deny that Donald was smart enough to hold his tongue, wise enough not to betray himself in his speeches, but adept enough to appropriately deliver to the audience what needed to be a humble presidential delivery in Mexico, standing beside another man who he doesn't want to offend, he wants to build a relationship with, and then coming back and delivering his campaign style in Phoenix with all kinds of Latinos advocating for him at his side, highlighting the problems with Mexico sending us their worst, with Mexico not cooperating to appropriately legally deal with the issues at hand. How do we stop criminals and terrorists and thugs? How do we preserve American jobs? How do we invite the best to join us? And how do we help Mexico be great again too? I think there was a masterful delivery, Kurt, and I think there was a lot more detail there than they're giving him credit for. And I think the mainstream press is completely beside themselves over this, Kurt, and they don't know what to do now. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Any of you want to call in 866-986-NEWS, you can chime in and give me your opinions. I want to hear what Kurt has to say about the breakdown as well. And I'm not here just to talk about Donald all day, but I am here to talk about the key issues Donald is bringing up. And I'm here to tell you when I think Donald's right. And on many points here, Donald's absolutely spot on. How do we look at the American people first? How do we help them put on their oxygen mask first so that we can help others in the world? How do we appropriately tell you when, you know what, there's good people of all nationalities. There's also thugs. How do we stop the thugs but do right by the good people? How do we appropriately stop the job loss in America and the illegality? How do we shut down the welfare rolls but put people back to work? How do we find a way forward in a meaningful way? Hillary's not even in the discussions, folks. This nation shall endure.